Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Christopher Jafta is a South African actor, dancer, singer, model, MC, and presenter. After matriculating at the age of 16, he took a gap year and did voluntary work for an organization called Youth for Christ, where he was part of a team who traveled throughout Africa, Europe, and America, raising money for HIV and AIDS orphanages through dance, drama, and industrial theater. During this time, his interest for acting had grown and become a passion. He moved to California, where he then studied acting at the Stella Adler School of Film in Los Angeles. When he returned home, Chris earned a place in South Africa's best and longest-running musical, African Footprint, having had no dance or drama experience. Chris realized that hard work trumps talent and worked his way up to lead roles in the show, and this is where his journey began. Since then, Chris has appeared in Aladdin, the annual pantomime in 2013, High School Musical as Chad Danforth, Footloose as Cowboy Bob, Mamma Mia as Eddie, Dreamgirls as Wayne and Tiny Joe Dixon, Saturday Night Fever, The Boys in the Photograph, Pinocchio the Pantomime, Bernardo in West Side Story, The Prince in Sleeping Beauty. Chris has also graced our television screens and has been seen in print media through various advertising campaigns as a model for various brands. He has also been seen on television series such as Inkaba, Gramtes and Dikas, High Rollers, Isidingo, and many more. Chris is also an MC, having presented a variety of corporate events, including Dimension Data, Vintook Lager, MTN Roadshow, and many more. As a television presenter, he can be seen presenting on, amongst others, Top Billing, and many more. Up next on Celeb Savant, live in studio at Solid Gold Podcast in Randburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, is Chris Jafta.
Welcome to the show, Chris.
Usually I hear a round of applause.
There we go. I'll give you the round of applause.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Okay, so we're diving straight into the conversation. At what age, whether it was a child or teenager, did you think, cool, you want to be in the creative world, the entertainment world, the presenting world, and how did that journey progress to where we are today?
So I didn't really know that that's what I wanted to do, but I always had a creative bone in my body. I always enjoyed humor and comedy and that sort of thing, but I never foresaw myself getting into the entertainment industry. I always thought that I'd either be a pro football player. I was quite good, and that kind of didn't pan out, and I eventually ended up studying fine art at the National School of Arts. After the National School of Arts, I then went into voluntary work with an organization called Youth for Christ, where we raised money for HIV and AIDS, AIDS orphanages for about 2.5 years, 3 years, somewhere around there, Africa, Europe, and America through industrial theater. So that's kind of like where the acting bug bit towards the last end of my, the tail end of that little stint with the voluntary stuff. And towards the end, I was like, okay, cool. So this little seed that has now grown and an innate desire that I can't escape. I couldn't understand what was going on, but like, this is what was calling me, you know what I mean? And I felt like that's where I needed to be. And so when I was done with the voluntary stuff, I got back to South Africa and I joined musical danceical called African Footprint. I don't know if you've
the show. Yes.
So my professional journey started off as a dancer, even though I wanted to go into acting. I joined African Footprint and I then got trained as a dancer in various forms of various genres and styles of dancing. And the rest is history, so to speak. I kind of just like, if you want to pursue musical theater and you want to get leading roles and that sort of thing, you got to be a triple threat. So you got to be a strong actor, strong dancer, strong singer. And I had to work on the rest, the singing. Professional acting came a little bit later, even though it was the one thing that I was pursuing and desiring. So I kind of just like worked it and allowed all the building blocks to get me to where I needed to be. So that being said, I then got into a little bit of film, a little bit of TV, and I'd been, well, musical theater I've been in for maybe over 2 decades now. That'll always be a part of who I am. But when you're in the entertainment industry, you got to spread your wings as far and as wide as possible, because if you're like, I'm only an actor, you know, and there's some other jobs that come, and then you haven't refined your skills in those particular sub-genres or niches or whatever the case may be, you find out that you lose out and you miss out on a lot of things. I eventually then went for this competition called Presenter Search. Everybody thinks I won. I didn't win, though. And I was part of the top five. There was some politics behind the scenes. You know, I was doing a series at the time. SABC wanted me for the series, so they asked the guys to kind of like hang tight with regards to, at least this is what I heard, allegedly.
Okay.
This is what I was hearing from all of the top guys, all of the big shots, all of the top dogs and whatnot. And they were like, hey, man, don't worry. Don't worry. Everything is going to work out. I was just like really confused. And I was like, why? What happened? These guys must have been so much better than me. But like when I watched the playback, I was like, what's going on here? I should have placed. But everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, I was going to be going into West Side Story as well. I guess the little snowball just got a lot bigger.
Okay. So when you started or joined African Footprints, had you already refined the different types of dancing, or did you learn while you were on the stage and in conjunction?
So we went through, I think it was 3 months or 6 months of auditions for the second cast of African Footprint. It was very intense. And the audition was learning the show. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Pansula, Gumboot, Tap, Afrofusion, Contemporary, Jazz, all of the above, right? Which I had no foundation for. I'm a hard worker, and I found myself in the right place at the right time. I'm a Christian, so I believe that my footsteps are ordered, and everything and every little achievement is not owed to me or due to my talent or to how wonderful I am, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that my footsteps were guided and ordered to be where I needed to be, and that's part of the reason why that seed was dropped in my heart in the first place. Entertainment, media, and the arts, the biggest platform to be able to inspire, for good or for bad. Mm. It's just up to us what we choose to do.
The seed was planted, but then what was the thing that was, knowing that you had to learn all these dances and know the show for the audition, what was the thing that for you was like, oh, I'm going to do that? Was it, oh, I'm going to do that? It was like, oh, I want to do this, but can I do it?
So, yeah, my mom always pushes me. My mom and my dad, they always push me to the limit, to limits that I don't know that I could reach sometimes. And I'm very grateful for that. So I've been instilled with a never say die, never give up, the worst they could do is say no attitude. My mom was like, hey, man, African Footprint Editions, you should come and check it out. And bearing in mind, I'd watched this with this particular organization. They took us and started opening our eyes to the theater and, you know, to become cultural individuals. Some of us hadn't even seen a theater show before, and we were getting into it. So we had to learn. And I'd seen that show 2 years before, 3 years before I was a part of it. My mom was like, yo, I think you should go and try it for this. I think you can do it. You can do it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this thing. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into. So I took a CD with like a track on it. I didn't know what a dance class was. This track, I had choreographed a piece to, and I thought, okay, we're going to get in there. They're going to ask us for our music. We're going to put it on, and I'm going to show them what's up. And yes. I got there, and there were so many people, right? And they were like, okay, cool. So everybody find a space, and I was like, okay, what's going on here? Now we're going to roll down for eight, up for eight, side for eight, down for eight, come back up, tando in first, second, third, bring back up, plie. I was like, what is going on here? What's a plie? I didn't even know what a roll down was. Yeah. So everybody's rolling down, and I'm kind of like just following and looking up and copying and seeing what was happening. And my joke is, the reason why I made it is because I'm flexible, because what they would actually do is touch guys on the shoulders and ladies.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people there with like 17 to 20 years of dance experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm in the thick of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody just thought I was lazy. Meanwhile, I just didn't know how to dance or like, I mean, I knew how to dance, but like I had no technique. I wasn't trained.
And didn't know the words they were talking about.
I didn't know the words. I didn't know the jargon, the terminology, nothing. I learned on the job. They saw potential, again, where God wants you to be, there will be a lot of blessing. Everything will just work out the way it should. I worked hard. I was there. They used to go around touching guys on the shoulder say, listen, you gotta,
touching to say, is it touching
you're
to
dead.
Say,
you're dead, you're out.
Yeah, you're out.
So they touch guys on the shoulder or girls on the shoulder and they just gently like, and they bring in new people because they want to see who has the style, who has X factor for this particular show, because it's a very particular type of style and not everybody can do it. And I was, I say that because I was so flexible or am so flexible, every time they try to touch me and they can never get me. So I made it.
So let's go first into acting in front of the camera. What do you enjoy about that?
I love telling stories. Again, going back to what I spoke about earlier with regards to media entertainment, the arts being the biggest platform to inspire change and to make a difference. So I like to move people. I like to emote, you know, I like to get people to a place where they think about something a little bit differently. Again, sowing that seed. How many times have you watched a movie and you've gone, how many times have you watched a movie and it's actually changed your life? You've had a different outlook once you've, you know, finished with it or whatever the case may be. So it's a huge responsibility.
When you taking on the characters and that you're portraying in these show, whether it's movies, television shows, for that period of time that you are portraying that character, is it Chris and separate that person? So in front of the camera now, I'm portraying James. And then you come down or you release that energy once you finish and then Chris, or is that character with you through the whole duration of you filming this production?
There are various techniques, obviously, Stanislavski, Meisner, etc., etc. I had to learn how to remove Chris from the character because a lot of characters are quite intense and certain stories do need to be told. It goes in conjunction with choosing the roles that you want to do. When I am on screen and there's a character that has a lot of depth that may be negative and that sort of thing, I found myself in the middle of the night when I was still a rookie actor, 2, 3 a.m., just waking up crying, thinking about this character and like what's going on and how could this be and all of that sort of thing. And I actually spoke to my agent. I was like, hey, man, I went through something for this one. And she was like, just write your stuff down. Write it down. To be honest with you, I never wrote it down, but I learned how to. That's a good technique. But I learned how to remove myself from the character as soon as cut is mentioned. Because if you take that with you, it's different strokes for different folks, for different actors and that sort of thing. Some actors go full Meisner and they stay in the character, but it has a very negative effect on your psyche, your emotional well-being, etc., etc. So when I went through that particular bad patch as an actor, I immediately, even if I find myself thinking about something bad that the character has done and the director yells cut and I was in tears and that sort of thing, just completely let it go. The character stays on set and Chris comes back. Otherwise, for me personally, I wouldn't be able to. I can't live in the character all the time. It'll destroy. Look, as an actor, Larry Moss, who studied under Stella Adler, I took some classes at Stella Adler as well. Beverly Hills Playhouse, Universal Studios and that sort of thing. That's when I left African Footprint. I decided, okay, cool, and I need to go and learn for what it is that I'm going to be doing. I did that. I came back and thought I was hot stuff and then got rejected by every other agency. We're getting back to the types of acting. Mm. So Larry Moss studied under Stella Adler, and he says that, which I agree with as well, and you can see it with various actors who pull from good actors and great actors and make whatever it is that they do their own, is not to judge the vessel and to say, okay, this one's correct and that one's right, or, you know, this one suits me and that one's, okay, if it suits you, then fine. But the same with what we were speaking about in the industry. If you don't spread your wings as far and as wide as possible, you kind of pigeonhole yourself.
Okay, so this leads me to the next question. So there's this whole woke thing at the moment that I'm Jewish, part of the LGBT community, but I've noticed now, like, Bradley Cooper, when he was playing Maestro, they were like, the Jewish people are like, oh, how can a non-Jewish person be playing a Jewish person? Then when gay people play straight and straight people play gay, it becomes this whole thing. It is a bit of a controversial discussion. There's still representation. It doesn't matter who the person portraying is, but I suppose previously in the past, gay people weren't getting roles and so on and so forth. What are your observations of this discussion or point of controversy, so to speak?
I think perhaps there's some truth in that. However, because we are in an era now where people are a lot more honest and open, we now know who may or may not be gay or straight or whatever the case may be. We do know a lot more who is, because people feel a little bit more comfortable and safe. And there's a lot more safeguarding and protecting them, that sort of thing. Back then, we may not even have known who the superstars were that were gay, but they were just not allowed to come out and you know, be themselves and say this is the case and whatever the case may be. With that being the precursor to the answer to the question, is that I think people need to stop being so soft, man. You know what I mean? Mm. I really think that whoever's best for the role, if they can do it, because that's what acting is about in the first place. Being able to become someone else. You know, it's a little bit of a catch-22, because then it opens out a can of worms, and then everybody who never got a chance is now going to be like, hey, what chance are we going to get? Where's this happening? This, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes to a race issue and whatever the case may be. We need to stop being soft. We just need to enjoy. And yes, okay, we've all got opinions and, you know, we've all got things that we believe in and agree with and disagree with.
Which is perfect.
Which, absolutely.
Everyone's and, valid in their beliefs and...
Absolutely. Perfect. Absolutely. Yeah. And respect is key with regards to those beliefs.
Exactly. Because
everybody can have different beliefs. But yeah, I would just say, come on, guys, man, just let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Just, however, I do find myself in that position sometimes, because if I see an actor that I didn't think... Let's just... I'm sorry to Liam Hemsworth. Liam, if you ever watch this, I'm sorry, bro. But like, let's just take The Witcher, for example. You've got Henry Cavill. Obviously, he's made the thing his own now. And then Liam's now going to be filling those shoes.
Mm.
Because of politics and that sort of thing, Henry's left and that sort of thing. In that particular scenario, I'm like, nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay.
so I have a little bit of that myself.
So, okay. So it's just about... being compassionate, understanding, and just understanding that everyone should have the opportunities, but allow people who get the opportunities, allow them to have that. Yeah.
We don't know what people
support
go through.
Them.
Absolutely. Exactly. We don't know what people go through. We don't know how hard they've worked for certain roles. We don't know how long they've been wanting and trying to break through with a particular thing. So there's lots that goes into it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you said, the most important thing is empathy and compassion, understanding that they too are people.
Okay, so when you're taking on a role, how much research do you do? So I'll give you an example. When I started Celebs of Ants, so many people said, okay, I need to watch other interviewers who are doing similar things. I need to watch other hosts, other types of things. And I know I'm very much the type of person that if I try and do that, I'm going to try copy that person and it will take away my authenticity and it will not be Barrett. It'll be Barrett trying to be someone else, and then it just would have never been what it is.
Yeah.
Understanding that for myself, if I took on, or when, let's say, when I got a role in whatever, I wouldn't be going watching previous actors performing those type of roles, because then I know, okay, I'm going to try be Barrett, be Liam, be that character, and it will just fall flat.
Yeah.
So in your world, is it that same thing, or do you do research and observe others?
I absolutely do research. Excuse me, but I totally get where you're coming from. And I think, because the various genres of entertainment that I do are quite different. So you've got presenting, you've got theater, and then you've got film. With regards to the presenting, in terms of me being my authentic self, the effervescent version of who I am, that I wouldn't try to copy anyone and see exactly, okay, this is how they're doing and whatever, because then you do lock yourself in. And then on the flip side to that, depending on who the guests are and what it is that I'm there for, I would have obviously done my research on them, and as well as the topic of discussion, etc. So, yeah, two sides to that. With acting or TV and or film and theater, I do as much research as I possibly can. At the end of it, I make it my own. So sometimes directors will come to us and say, you know what, I want you to watch Casablanca because I want you to see how, what's his name now? I forget his name. Anyway.
Cary Grant, wasn't it?
No.
Whomever it was.
It'll come.
Google, listeners, Google Casablanca. Yes.
It'll come. The name's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, it'll come. I'll shout it out at 2 a.m. this morning. Barrett, this is his name. Anyway, director told me to just have a look at what it is that he's doing. The genres and the films were completely separate, and the stories were completely different. So I couldn't really take exactly what it is that he was doing and then bring it here. But just to look at or how his style is portrayed and then make it my own. So in terms of that, yeah, I would do my own research, but it wouldn't hinder me with films. It would hinder me more on the presenting side of things.
So let's go into presenting. What do you enjoy about presenting?
I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy building relationships and the connections that, you know, last for a very long time, even after, you know, doing one interview and that sort of thing, because you do have to be an effervescent version of yourself. Mm. You have to be authentic. Not everybody can do that. Some people are able to play a character and be someone else as they're presenting and then change and swap into it. But that doesn't work with me. But the one thing that I've really enjoyed about presenting, or let me name two, is doing things, bucket list things that I would never have ever thought of
doing. Yeah.
Traveling the world, getting to meet amazing people, and then building those relationships.
And are you still doing presenting now?
Still doing presenting. Okay. Yes.
Because you were on top billing.
So I was on top billing, and then I moved to Dancing with the Stars, and then
South Africa. Okay. Yes.
And then we did two seasons of The Longest Date, two SAFTA nominations, Best Show, Best Presenter, and now with E Entertainment Africa.
How long have you been with E for? For a few years,
I think about five.
Yes.
5 or 6 years.
So that's basically covering the entertainment space in Africa. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed. And then different parts of the world too. It just depends on where we go, but we bring that content here. And then
theater, what do you enjoy about being on stage?
Oh man, the audience, the live feedback, the fact that, you know, the adrenaline is so high because it is live. And so anything can go wrong. And when things go wrong, that's where the magic happens. I mean, there's a lot of laughter, a lot of corpsing and that sort of thing. So you've got to really dig deep into those thespian skills to prevent you from those sorts of things. But it's amazing. And every show is different because the audience is different. People often used to ask me, you know, don't you get bored? You've been doing the show for 6 months. You've done the show for 3 years, 4 years, five years. Yeah. Like, what's going on? It's like, no, bruh. Yes, the show may be the same, but every show is different because it's not exactly the same. Sometimes you'll have an off show. Other times you'll have an amazing show. But the most important part is seeing what you do to the audience.
Yeah. Okay, so this is interesting for me because you referenced an off show. The audience don't know that it's an off show. First part of the question, what makes it an off show? And how do you then pull yourself out of that so for the next show it doesn't, that energy doesn't pull into that next show?
That is not an easy task because what happens is when you have an off show, you may have made a mistake or, you know, lost a count or gone blank somewhere or hit a false note. It's happened. It happens. Or you missed the timing of, the cue to a song or whatever the case may be. And then the cast is there to help you get out of it. And they kind of like, it's a beautiful thing to see people come together like that. Back to the question. What was it again?
You referenced already what is off.
How do you not bring?
Yes. And also the audience don't know. So it's only in your little brain that's that parrot. I talk about that parrot. Cracks in your head.
So it's very psychological. Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you not
take it to the next?
Yeah.
You got to learn that. You got to learn that because you can allow a previous bad show to affect the next one. Yes, you made a mistake. People may have seen it. They may not have seen it, but they went away and they forgot about it already. You know what I mean? They're carrying on with their lives. They're like, oh, that was a great show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you see that? Oh, it was a mistake. Ah. And then they carry on with their lives. But you stuck there with like, oh my gosh, I made this mistake. And then, you got to let go of it within that particular moment and try to move forward. Yeah. And more often than not, the shows that you feel are bad, the director will come to you afterwards and you'll be like, oh man, that was a terrible show. And the director will be like, That was beautiful. And yeah, then when you're feeling before, like, yeah, when you're feeling like, oh man, show. I'm like, yo, director, how was the show? Like, yeah, we're going to have to talk about that one. Hey, I think it wasn't one of your guys' best. And you're like, oh my gosh. So yeah, the feelings that you sometimes have don't even affect the audience. You know what I mean? So you've got to discipline your mind. Once it happens, it happens. It's live. There's nothing you can do about it. Everyone, where there's something live, there may be a mistake, whatever it may be, but you just got to keep moving.
Yeah.
Let it go. It was a little bump in the road that hit the tire. If a car is driving and it hits a pothole, it doesn't stay on that pothole, right? It goes and the pothole's gone. So you just got to keep focusing on what's in front of you.
For the audience, they maybe see one or two shows. You reference some shows you've been in for 6 months, a couple of years. It's 7-8 shows a week. How, as a performer, do you maintain energy, life balance to continue with the show for that intensity for that period of time?
Obviously looking after your body. So depending on the show, we usually get a physio and a chiropractor. Obviously, you know, we do high performance stuff, so the body takes a bit of a knock. Rest, hydration, what you put into your body, it's just staying healthy and understanding that this is your tool. So whatever fuel it is that you're going to be putting into your body is what you're going to get out. You'll get aches, pains, this, that, and the other, injuries and whatnot. So in order for me to maintain my strength, consistency, and performance in a show, diet, rest, including the diet, obviously, is hydration, the right type of hydration, because if you just drink a lot of water, you're just going to wee it out. So you got to get the right type of electrolytes in there. Mm. If you don't have the electrolytes, some pink Himalayan salt, Celtic salt, whatever the case may be, do that. You got to be disciplined. You really have to be disciplined. A lot of people think that, you know, the arts, this, that, and the other, you can just come and be and whatever the case may be. No.
Yeah.
If you truly want to make an impact and you want to be somebody and you want to get somewhere and you understand the destination and that there's a purpose behind it all, then you'll give it what you got, all of it.
In this moment of time, in this specific moment, because I know if I have to ask you this again in 10 minutes or tomorrow, I know your answer will be different every time. In this specific moment, three theatre productions that you'd like to perform in that you have as yet to do so.
As yet to do so. Okay. Okay. You're going to put me in a tricky spot here. Because I got one that they wanted me for, and I feel like they just wasted my time, man, because I was there. I did the thing. I'm a very objective human being. So, you know, I can have my way of thinking, but if someone else brings another way of thinking that challenges mine and eventually I look at it and see my way of thinking wasn't the right way to go, I can change it.
Yeah. So what are the three shows?
I was hoping you were going to forget that.
No, I mean, don't mention that one. But like ones that are on theater now that you've seen maybe on Broadway or in the West End, like, oh, I'd like to be in that. I'd like to be in that.
I tell you what, I don't think there are any shows that I want to be in now besides, even the one that I spoke about now that I'm not going to mention.
No, don't mention it. Yeah.
I don't really want to be a part of that. I feel like I've paid my dues. I've done what I needed to do. And now I kind of just like you said, just choose what it is I want to do, especially when it comes to theater. But I wouldn't mind doing Dream Girls again.
Okay.
We were cut short. I just feel like it was the wrong time for South Africa. There was a lot that we were going through, and it was the first black cast in a musical, and like fully black cast and that sort of thing, and whatever the case would be. So we were having a lot of political unrest, you know, at that particular time. I think Zuma was still in presidency. So there was a lot that kind of like fought against us, which was a little bit unfortunate. I'd like to do that show again. It was excellent, fantastic. Besides, I mean, everybody knows the story, but if you haven't seen the stage version of Dreamgirls, you're missing out. The movie has nothing.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing on it. And then I would want to do African Footprint again.
Okay.
But this time, okay, yeah, behind the scenes as I have, I'm a producer now and all of that kind of thing as well, but I actually want to perform. I want to go back and perform. So I want to bring it kind of like full circle. That may happen. That may happen. But I'll let you guys know if and when it does.
It's not on anymore, hey, at the moment, African Footprints.
It is.
They
not on in South Africa,
okay.
But it still tours the world, you know. They go and do performances everywhere. I think they're in Dubai at the moment plus 40 shows or something like that.
Interesting.
And then, we're looking at bringing it back for, you know, the 25th year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
South Africa's longest running dance show and most successful. I don't know what the stats of Umoja was and that sort of thing. Umoja was a much longer show and they had some nice stuff in there, but like really long. So, they go into the culture and this and that. African Footprint is where we're from, where we're going to. High performance dancing in 1.5 hours. Yes, we toured the world and that sort of thing. I remember a theater, this used to happen often. In Germany, I think in one show, we may have gotten something between 8 and 12 standing ovations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that show is powerful.
Yeah.
The show actually represents South Africa where we are now, our past, our present, where we're going to, and the beauty of it.
What's coming up next for you?
There are a couple of projects that I'm working on behind the scenes. As I said, I'm doing producing. Well, not I'm doing, but I'm a producer. So there's some projects ready to go. I'm just waiting for some funding. There is a series that's going to be coming out. I think it's called Bear the Blessers Game on Netflix. There's so much that I'm doing, man. I can't think of the top of my head. What's next? What's happening? There's a lot that's happening.
Okay, there's a lot that's happening. Yeah. Cool. So we'll just stay tuned. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Go for your dreams. Persevere. Never give up. And treat people with kindness, respect, regardless of who they are or where they come from.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.